Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Rava Omar. At the end of the previous shiur, we had learnt a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. The situation they were discussing was where one had given chalitza, and after he gave chalitza, he did a maimer, he made kedushin with the yevama. And the discussion of that braisa was, is that kedushin effective? Obviously, the braisa reflects the position of the chachamim. The kedushin is effective by one who is a chayiv lavin. There's a chayiv lav to marry a chalutza. However, the Rabbanan hold that Kedushin is effective with Chayv Yilavin. And the discussion between Rebbe and the Chacham was, under what circumstances would such a Kedushin be effective? The Chacham said the Kedushin are effective under all circumstances. Rebbe, however, drew a distinction between Kitchel Hashem Yivomen or Kitchel Hashem Ishus. And he said that if he was Mekadosh Hashem Yivomen, the Kedushin are not effective. However, if it was Mekadosh L'Shem Ishus, the Kedushin are effective. And the Gemara already has offered explanations in explaining this Machlokes. And the Gemara continues offering more explanations in explaining this Machlokes. Rava Amar, Rava says, either Amar Lo B'Mamah Yavmin, if the Yavam said to the Yavama after the Chalitza, that the Kedushin I am now making with you is a Kedushin of Mamma Yavmin, Kuli Amal Loi Pligin Mahanya, everybody would agree that it would be effective. Hochem Ma'iskinen. However, what is the situation of which Rebbe and the Chacham are discussing? It's referring to a situation, Kagan to Amal Loi, Hiskach Lo Bezikas Yavmin, that he said to her, he's being Makadish to her with a Zika. Rebbe Sover, Rebbe holds, Yei Zika, that there is a concept of Zika for Osi Chalitza, and since there is normally a Zika between a Yavam and a Yavama, which is dissolved through the Chalitza, and that's what happened over here. Osi Chalitza affected a Zika, the Chalitza dissolved that Zika, and therefore, using the words Zika after a Chalitza are totally inappropriate and therefore ineffective. For Rabbanan Savri, Ein Zika. For Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold that there is no Zika ever. So Mikara, and therefore even before Chalitza was done, Ilo Omala Hiskachli Bezikas Yavmim. If the Yavim would say to Yavama that we should have here a Kedushin with a Zikas Yavmim, Miloi Mahani, it would be effective. Hashtanami Mahani, therefore even now after Chalitza took place, this terminology is still effective to form a Kedushin between the Yavam and the Yavama, even though she received Chalitza. So wait, there's a Machlokes Rishonim how to understand what we just learned. Some Rishonim, and that's probably the easiest way of explaining the Gemara, explain that the Machlokes here is that Rebbe holds of Zika, and therefore the Chalitza dissolves the Zika, so therefore the words Zikas Yavmim are no longer appropriate. The Rabbanan, however, of the opinion that Ein Zika, there was never a Zika to be dissolved, and therefore the words Zikas Yavmim are as appropriate before the Chalitza as they are after the Chalitza. However, Rishonim are not satisfied with this explanation, because this explanation really, in the Machlokes of Rebbe Chachamim, really reflects that we're having a Machlokes between Rebbe Chachamim of Yei Zika or Ein Zika, which, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, is actually a Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. So now it turns out that this is not just a Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, it's actually a Machlokes of Rebbe the Chachamim. Therefore, Rabbein Avram and Ahar explains that everybody agrees that there is no Zika, that there is Zika. The machloikis between Rebbe and the Chacham here is the concept of Zika Midoraisa or Midorabonin. Rebbe holds that Zika is a concept Midoraisa. Chalitza totally dissolves that Zika, and therefore there's no room to say Zika Shivomim afterwards. Drabonon, on the other hand, hold that the entire concept of Zika is only with Drabonon, and therefore Chalitza really did not affect it, because Chalitza is a deraisa, is a cantor, something with deraisa, and the Zika is only Drabonon, and therefore Zika Shivomim can be said even after the Chalitza was done. Rav Shrabi says the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim is a different machlokes. The chalitza kshera, if a fine chalitza was performed, ida amalei skachlei bezikas yavamim, if after a perfect chalitza was done, the yavam said to the yavama the words skachlei bezikas yavamim, kuli amalei pligidolei mahani, everybody would be in agreement that it would not be effective, because the chalitza dissolved the zika, so it's inappropriate to use the word zika after chalitza. Hacha, here we're referring to a situation b'chalitza psula kamifli. As we discussed, there is a concept in halacha of a chalitza psula. A chalitza psula is a chalitza that was done after a get. It's considered a deficient chalitza, because as we have learned at the beginning of this parak, under these circumstances, a yibum bia may not take place, so it's a chalitza psula. And that's what happened over here. First a get was given from the yavam to the yavama, and then he did chalitza, so it's a deficient chalitza. Mar sova, Rebbe holds chalitza psula pateris. Chalitza psula has the same halachic status as any other chalitza, and therefore there is no room for zikas yavamim anymore. Omar Sov and the Rabbanon hold that since the chalitza that took place here was a chalitza psula, it was a deficient chalitza, so therefore it did not have the ability to totally dissolve the zika, and therefore the zika is somewhat still there, and the words zika siyavmim are still appropriate. Chalitza psula ena bateres, it doesn't completely dissolve the zika, and therefore the words zika siyavmim may still be effective after such a chalitza. Ravashi says the kulama chalitza psula ena bateres. Everybody agrees that a chalitza psula does not have the ability to totally dissolve the zika. V'hocha, however, the machloikus over here between Rebbe and the Chachamim is b'yesh tanai b'chalitza kamifki. They argue, does the halacha recognize the ability to make tanoim, to make conditions in the chalitza? For example, if the yavam said to the yavama, I am prepared to give you chalitza, but I request a payment, a cash payment. And he did the chalitza, and she did not make the payment. Mar sova yesh tanai b'chalitza. The Chacham hold that a tanai in the chalitza is effective, and therefore that chalitza, until the tanai is fulfilled, is a weak chalitza, for which afterwards a maimer, a kedushin, can still be effective. Or mar sova, Rebbe on the other hand holds, ain't tanai b'chalitza. The tanai was meaningless. So even if she doesn't make the payment, that doesn't affect the power of that chalitza. The chalitza is still a perfectly fine chalitza, and therefore using the words zikas yivam or making a maimer after such a chalitza has no power. Ravina says a different pshat in the final interpretation of this machloikis. The kol alma, everybody agrees yesh tanai b'chalitza. A chalitza, there can be made a condition in the chalitza. For hocha, however, the machloikas here is between Rebbe and the Chachamim, but tanai kofel kamifgi. They're arguing if a tanai, if a condition was made in the chalitza, but it wasn't said tanai kofel, a double tanai, which means, in our case, let's say the condition were that he said to her, you have to make a payment that if you want me to make chalitza. So tanai kofel would be that he says, if you pay me, I'll give you chalitza, and if you won't pay me, I won't. Mar sova, Rebbe holds, being a tanai kofel, we require a double tanai. Or mar sova, loy being a tanai kofel, we do not require a double tanai. And therefore, the machloikis, according to Rebbe, you have to have that double tanai. If it's not doubled, the Tanai is not a Tanai. And therefore, if the Tanai is not a Tanai, here there was no Tanai, therefore, where he didn't double Tanai, so just remains a perfectly fine Chalitza. On the other hand, the Rabbanan hold that even if the Tanai was not doubled, it's still considered a valid condition. And if the Chalitza was done without the Tanai fulfilled, we have a situation where the Chalitza is considered a weak Chalitza since the condition wasn't fulfilled, and therefore they can still make Maimur after such a Chalitza. So Rashi points out that Ravina's explanation assumes that everybody agrees that a Tanai, that a condition can be made in Chalitza, which Rashi says is actually not the halacha. The halacha is that a condition is not effective in Chalitza. And Rashi explains, and the Rishonim explain why our condition is not effective in Chalitza. Because as we just learned, the source for the halachic effectiveness of conditions is from the Tanai of Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain. That the Bnei, as we remember, the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain wanted to get their share in the Eivra Anor. And Moshe Rabbeinu made a condition with them. Im Tavru Chalutzim, if you'll go to Eretz Yisrael and be join Klal Yisrael in battle to capture Eretz Yisrael, then you'll get your share in Eivra HaNor. But if not, you will not get your share in the Eivra HaNor. So since Moshe Rabbeinu said his condition doubled, from there we see that condition is only effective when it's doubled. But say the Rishonim, one of the other characteristics of that condition was that it could be accomplished through a shliach, through a messenger. Actually, it was accomplished through a messenger because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the one that took him to Yisrael, Yeshua was. So only where an act can be accomplished through a messenger are tanoim effective. Here, chalitza, yibam, cannot be done through a shliach, and that's why tanoim are not effective. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi's approach to our Gemara. Because Tosfos says, Ravina, who's a Basra, is one of the later Amoraim, who the Halacha usually follows, it's difficult to explain that he explains our Gemara to go according to something which is not the Halacha. That Ravina says that everybody agrees you can make it tonight, and the Halacha really is that a tonight cannot be made in Chalitza. Therefore, Tosfos says that even if we hold a tonight is not effective, and therefore this chalitza is perfectly fine. It is a chalitza mutas. It's a chalitza that was made under false pretenses, where she said she would pay, and she doesn't pay. Rebbe holds that doesn't change the effectiveness of the chalitza, and therefore any maimer done after such a chalitza is meaningless. However, the Rabbanan hold, so since the chalitza, this chalitza was made under false pretenses, she said she'll pay, and she doesn't pay, even though the halacha doesn't necessarily require her to pay, because there's no tanayim chalitza, it is a weaker chalitza, and therefore kedushin can be effective afterwards. Ramosh actually uses this gemara to discuss a shaila that the Piskei Tshuva brings up. The Piskei Tshuva brings up a shaila, what will be the halacha? We know, we'll discuss it more later in the Masechta Mitzvashem, that chalitza has to be done with the stronger of the Yavam's 2 feet. The shoe has to be put on the stronger of his feet. Let's say we don't know which is the stronger foot. So the Piskei Tshuva discusses, can shoes be put on both feet? And she can make a condition, a Tanai. If this is the stronger foot, this should be the effective Chalitza. And if the other is the stronger foot, then the shoe put on the other foot should be the stronger Chalitza. Says Ramosha, based on the way Tosfos and Rashi just taught us that everybody agrees that conditions may not be made in Chalitza, that would not be an effective approach under those circumstances. However, there are Paiskim that hold that it would work to make such a condition without putting shoes on both feet. And I saw 2 explanations why. One explanation is when the Gemara says that a condition tonight is not effective by Chalitza, when the Rishonim say that, it's only referring when he initiates the condition, that he says, if you'll pay me, I'll give Chalitza, and if not, I won't give Chalitza. But here we're referring to a situation where she makes the condition. That is not what our Gemara is referring to. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two types of tanoim. A tanai, as we've been discussing, where he makes the condition and says that if you pay me, I'll give you chalitza, and if not, I won't, is a condition that he made in the actual effectiveness of his chalitza. However, the tanai that we're discussing, that she says, if you, a tanai which is your stronger foot, that is only a gili milsa. The tanai is only helping us understand what are the proper circumstances, and that is not considered a regular tanai. We learned in the Mishnah, at the end of the first part of Mishnah, chalitz was a maimer for nothing get ubal, that the Mishnah discussed that if the Yavim first gave chalitza, and then after chalitza he either did get, bia, or maimer, ein acha chalitza klum, then meaningless after chalitza was done. And then the Mishnah discussed if a bia was done from the Yavim to the Yavama, and after that there was a get, or chalitza, or maimer, what would be the halacha? And then the Mishnah said, ein acha chalitza klum. Ask the Gemara, v'nisni nami ein acha bia klum. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question goes as follows. If we learn this part of the Mishnah that we just reviewed, the Mishnah is actually teaching us two dinim. Ein acha chalitza klum, and ein acha bia klum. We can understand why the Mishnah doesn't have to say both of those statements. Ein acha chalitza klum, ein acha bia klum. Just mentioning one is adequate, because we're able to extrapolate one from the other. But our Gemara's question is, since the last cases mentioned refer to a bia, and after the bia there was maimer, get or chalitza, wouldn't it make more sense to say ein acha bia klum and extrapolate from ein acha bia klum that the halach is also ein acha chalitza klum, versus saying ein acha chalitza klum, which is the previous case, and then extrapolating ein acha bia klum? Says the Gemara, and this is the way the Tosfos Yeshanim explains this line of the Gemara in the name of Rabbi Chanan, Abai v'Rava Damri Tavayu Tani ein acha bia klum. In fact, when the Tosefta mentions, has the same situation where it paints all these scenarios, and since the last case mentioned a situation, what happens after a bia, says the Sefta doesn't use the words ein acha chalitza klum, it says ein acha bia klum. So the question is, why doesn't the Tana of our Mishnah follow the same format and say ein acha bia klum? Why does he rather say ein acha chalitza klum? Says the Tana the Don, our Tana prefer to say ein acha chalitza klum, because hataras yivama l'shuk adifalei. He preferred to speak about a case where the Yavama will become permissible to get married, which is the case after chalitza is done. The Mishnah continued saying, Echad Yavama Achas, Vish Echad Shtei Yavamas. As we learned, there's a machloikus of Gamliel and Chachomim. Gamliel holds, Ein Maimer Acha Maimer, Ein Get Acha Get. Rabbanon hold, Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer, Yesh Get Acha Get. And our Mishnah said that this machloikus applies whether it is one widow or two widows. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloike Ben Azai. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Ben Azai. The Tanya, we learned Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer. Where is the opinion of the Rabbonin, who they say Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer, applicable? B'shtei Yevamim V'Yevam Achas. If there are two brothers. However, Ben Azai says, they Maimer Acha Maimer, B'shtei Yevamim V'Yevam Echad. There is no Maimer after Maimer when there are two widows with only one brother. Our Mishnah, however, says, and that even by two widows, there is, according to Rabbanan, Maimer Acha Maimer. And as Rishonim explain, why is there a difference if there are one brother or two brothers according to Ben Azai? So they explain, as we learned, this concept that a brother has the ability to do Maimer is a koyach, is a right that Chazal assigned to each brother. But they only assigned it once to each brother. So if, says Ben Azai, if there are two widows, but there's only one brother, and that brother did maimer in the first widow, he used up his right of maimer, and therefore the maimer he does in the second widow is meaningless. If there are two brothers, however, concedes Ben Azai that each maimer would be effective, because each brother, says Ben Azai, Chazal gave him a right to do maimer. Our Mishnah doesn't differentiate, and obviously does not cannot be consistent with Ben Azai's understanding of the Chachamim. Kates of Maim Lazu. So the Mishnah discussed the case where where the brother performed Maimer with one widow and Chalitza with the second widow. Says the Gemara, Lame Messiah Lishmul. Perhaps our Mishnah is a proof to Shmuel. The Amish Shmuel, Cholitz Labal Samaima Lanifta Tzrosa. As we learned, Shmuel is of the opinion that a strong Chalitza can exempt all widows from having a requirement to have Chalitza, However, in a situation where we have two widows, and one widow's Chalitza will be stronger than the other widow's Chalitza, then the weaker Chalitza cannot exempt the one who requires a stronger Chalitza. Explaining it in our situation. In our Gemara, in our case that the Mishnah is referring to, he gave a Maimer to the first widow. That widow, as we learned in our Mishnah, will require a get, because the Maimer has to be dissolved with a get. The other widow did not have a Maimer, so her Chalitza is a very powerful Chalitza, because all she needs to have is Chalitza and nothing more. So our Mishnah that says that the second widow gets the Chalitza clearly indicates that it agrees with Shmuel, give the Chalitza to the one where the Chalitza is more potent. Lema Messiah with Shmuel. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that Shmuel's position is right. Giving Chalitza to the widow who had Maimer will not help, will not be effective, like Niftarat Sarasa, because her Chalitza is a weak Chalitza, because it also requires a get. And says the Gemara, the Tiyufta, the Rabbi Yosef, isn't our Mishnah a question on Rabbi Yosef? Because Rabbi Yosef is the man that told us earlier in the Perek and in the Masechta, L'yishbach Adam may bayroi, v'cherim tzrichon loy. A person should not do an act that will hurt somebody, meaning for no good reason. In our case, where the first woman received the Maimer, so this woman is going to have to get a get. So since she's going to have to get it, and then this woman's going to have to get a get, so she will be usher to the relatives of the Yavam. And not only will she be usher to the relatives of the Yavam, because he gave her a get, she will also be usher to Kayin, because she's a Grusha. The other widow, if no Chalitz is done with her, will be mutter to this Yavam's relative. The Yavam will be mutter to her relatives, and she will not be asked to a Kohen. Says Rav Yosef, give the first one Chalitza, because you're anyway not doing any serious damage, versus giving Chalitza to the second one, which you're hurting her, that she can't marry Kohen, and he can't marry her relatives. Ask Tosfos, when did Rav Yosef say the halacha? When all things being equal, that's when Rabbi Yosef said, give the Chalitza where it's going to make less damage. But here the halacha, if the halacha is like Shmuel, that's what the halacha requires, that we should give the second woman Chalitza. Will Rabbi Yosef's din be applicable there? Therefore, Tosfos says that our Mishnah could be viewed in one of two ways. That's what our Gemara is saying. Either our Mishnah is a proof that Shmuel is correct, and that's why the second widow is the widow to receive the Chalitza, or our Mishnah is a proof that Rabbi Yosef is incorrect. And since both women can equally receive Chalitza, the fact that our Mishnah says they give the Chalitza to the second woman is a proof that Rabbi Yosef is wrong. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a proof to Shmuel. Our Mishnah is not a kash on Rabbi Yosef. Miktani Chalitz, does our Mishnah say, give Chalitza to the second widow? Our Mishnah says, Chalitz Ktani, if you gave Chalitza, the Eved, but not that it must be done that way. Our Mishnah continued, Get Lazu, Get Lazu. If a get is given to both of the widows, then the Mishnah says, Tzrichais Himenu Chalitza. So our Mishnah seems to indicate that both widows will then require Chalitza. Says the Gemara, Gleim Messiah le Rabbi Rav Huna. Should our Mishnah not be approved to Rabbi Rav Huna's opinion? Dom Rabbi Rav Huna, Chalitza Psula. Since we have a situation of a Chalitza Psula, since they both receive Gittin, and Aloha, as we said earlier, is that if a woman receives a get, she's no longer a candidate for Bia. So it's a Chalitza Psula. Then Allah is Sricha Laksa Kala Akan. All of the widows have to receive Chalitza. So our Mishnah that uses the word Srichois seems to indicate, like Rabbi, that since we're dealing with a case of a Chalitza Psula, every widow has to get Chalitza. And says the Gemara, it's not a proof. My Srichois, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Srichois? Srichois to Alma. In all situations such as this, where get is given to the widows, a Chalitza has to be given. But it doesn't mean that both of them have to receive a Chalitza. The Mishnah again said, get lezu, v'cholz lezu. If he gave a get to the first Yavama, and he did chalitza to the second Yavama. Again, Gemara wants to say, leim mesayle l'shmul, that our Mishnah is a proof to Shmuel's opinion, because here it says we should give the second widow the chalitza, because the first widow, being that she received a get, her chalitza is a weaker chalitza, and Shmuel says a weaker chalitza will not exempt the woman, the widow, who requires a stronger chalitza. And again, we have to give to Rabbi Yosef, by giving the second widow chalitza, doesn't it adversely, if adversely affects her, giving the first widow chalitza, la yishbach adam eibarai v'cheim tzrichanloi, would be much better. And it says the Gemara, as it said before, miktani chalitz, does our Mishnah say that the second widow must be the widow to receive chalitza? Chalatz k'tani, to yevet, if chalitza was given, it can be given to the second one, but it doesn't mean that it has to be given to the second one. We learned in the Mishnah, chalitz for chalitz, if chalitza was done, bi was done, ein ach bi klum, ein ach chalitza klum, even when there's more than one yevama. Ask the Gemara, and as we learned this a couple of moments ago, listening now, me ain't be a klum. Why does our Mishnah choose to teach us the halacha of ain't acha chalitza klum? Shouldn't our Mishnah teach us the halacha of ain't acha be a klum? As we see, says the Tosfos Shishonim explaining the Gemara, the Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Tavayu Tani, that when we learned the Braisa, it says ain't acha be a klum. Why doesn't our Mishnah also focus on the bia, not on the chalitza? Says the Gemara, Tana the Don, our Tana preferred to focus on the Chalitza, because Hadar Shivam Lashuk Adifalai, he preferred to speak about how the Yavama will become permissible to marry any man versus Bia. Our Mishnah continued, Ben Yav Mechlash Te Yavamas, makes no difference, there's one Yavama, when there's one Yavam and two widows. So the Mishnah said that if a Yavam did Chalitza with one widow, his doing maimer with the second widow is ineffective. And similarly, if one Yavam did chalitza, if a second one does maimer with that Yavama, it's also ineffective. We learned earlier in our Masechta a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We know the halacha is that the Yavam who performs chalitza with one of the widows, with one of the Yavamais, they may not get married, but their Isser to get married is a Chiyav Lav. The Isser to marry one's Chalutz is a Chiyav Lav. The Machloikas of Yochanan Reish Lakish had is regarding the other widows and the other brothers. Rabbi Yochanan said that they all, the Yavam, acts as a messenger, as a Shliach, for all his brothers, and the Yavama acts as a shliach for all the widows, and they all now only have a chiyav lav to marry each other. Reish Lakish says the yavam and the yavama who did chalitza between themselves only have a chiyav lav, but all the other brothers and all the other yavamas still retain or revert to the chiyav karis of Eishasach. Says the Gemara, Bishlomo Rabbi Yochanan, we could understand why our Mishnah needs to say what we just explained. It says, according to Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kula Beis Belavakai, that the entire Isser after Chalitz is done, between any of the brothers and any of the Yavamas, is only a Chiyav Lav. It's Rich Lashminin. So our Mishnah comes to tell us that once Chalitz is done, a Maimer is ineffective, because Ein Kedushin B'Chayv Elavin, to teach us that Kedushin is not affected with a Chayv Elavin, which is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And as Tosfos points out, even though our Gemara in the previous year already proved that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Akiva, since it's a chiddush to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva's opinion that Ein Kedusha Toysu B'chayv Lavin is not what's normally accepted lahalacha, so that's why our Mishnah repeats it. El Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, the Omar, Kula Beis B'Karuz Koy, that once Chalitza is done, another brother doing Maim Tahar. It would be a situation of Chiyuv Karis. Ask the Gemara, Itzrich Lashmi'inen, then Kedushin Tarsim Chayiv Krisis. Does our Mishnah have to come teach us this halacha, that Kedushin is not effective with a Chiyuv Krisis? It's an obvious halacha that everybody is aware of. Omlach Rish Lakish. Responds Rish Lakish. Ula Tameich. Let's analyze the Mishnah, even according to you. Sefer Diktani, we learned in the Sefer, Bo Vasamaymer, is if the Yavam did Bia. So he acquired this Yavama as the Torah tells him to. And then he did Maimer. The Maimer is meaningless. Ask the Gemara that, and another brother does Maimer in her, the Maimer is meaningless. Says the Gemara, of course it's meaningless. Itzrich Lashmina Dein Kedush and Tosh Be'eshes Ish. This widow became a full-fledged Eshes Ish when her Yavam did Bia in her. So does a Mishnah have to tell us that if another brother came and did Maimer, it's not effective? So why does the Mishnah mention it? El Aid the Tani Hataras Yavam Achad Vivam Achad. Since the Tani taught us the case and all the different scenarios when there's one Yavam and one Yavama, Tani Shtei Yavamas Yavam Echad. So our Mishnah also went on to discuss all the scenarios when there are two widows and one Yavam. And the Aid the Tani Shtei Yavamas Yavam Echad. After our Mishnah finished teaching us all the cases when there are two widows and one Yavam, Tani Nami Shnei Yavamim Yavam Echad when there are two brothers and one Yavama, even though in some of the cases that we're learning, there really is no chiddush. Most notably, the case that we just pointed out, where one brother did bia and the second brother did maimer, that his second act is meaningless, is obvious. But our Mishnah goes through and paints all the scenarios. The Mishnah said, "Chalitz was maimer v'nosan." If the yavam first performed chalitza with his yavama, and then performed maimer with her or gave her a get, ein ache chalitza klum. Says the Gemara. Bishlama, Chalat Tzvasa Maimer, we could understand that if he gave Chalitza and then he did a Maimer, it's Itzrich, we need, the Mishnah has to tell us that it's meaningless. Because Salka Daita Chamina, one could possibly think that Nigza Maimer the Basa Chalitza, that a Maimer given after Chalitza should be effective, or to Maimer the Kami Chalitza. For we know that a Maimer that's given before Chalitza is very effective. As we learned, such a Maimer would require a get. Kamash Malon. That's why our Mishnah needs to tell us the Leigas Rinan. And even though Maimer is effective before Chalitza, it's not effective after Chalitza. However, as the Gemara, Chalitz v'nosan get, Lomeli, if he gave Chalitza, and then he gave her a get, why does the Mishnah have to teach such a halacha that the get is ineffective? Of course it's ineffective. A get after you had chalitza, which is the way the Torah tells us to sever the relationship. And as Rashi explains, this part of the Mishnah is referring to a case where you have one yavam and one yavama. So if he gave a chalitza, he completely severed his relationship with her. Obviously the get is meaningless. Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich. Let's continue analyzing what it says in our Mishnah. Ema Sefer, Baal v'mosa Maimer, if the Yavam did Bia and then he gave Maimer, or Baal v'nosan Get, or he did Maimer and then gave her a Get, there's nothing valid, Einach Bia Klum. Explains the Gemara. Bishlam Baal v'nosan Get, we can understand that where he gave Bia, we did Bia and then gave a Get, Itzrich, it has to be taught. Kusaka Dat Chamina, Nigza get the basabila. We should say that a get given after bia does not release the yavama, or to get the kamabila, where we learned that a get, because I could get confused with a get given before bia, which also doesn't completely release the yavama. Kamashwan Dalagas, we don't make such a gzeira. Avabal vasamaima lomali, if he did bia, again, which is the strongest way of creating a band, the creating the marriage between the Yavam and Yavama, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that he did Maimer afterwards, that it's meaningless? Of course it's meaningless. Ella, how do we have to explain the Mishnah? I did the Tana Chalitz Vasa Maimer. Since the Mishnah taught us the case of Chalitz Vasa Maimer, which we just explained, the Mishnah did need to mention, that's why Tana Nami Baal Vasa Maimer. Vadi the Baal Mishnah Baal Vasa Get. Since our Mishnah has to speak about a case a boil and then a get, that we also said has a reason to be mentioned. That's why Tani Nami Chalitz V'nosan Get, even though there's not necessarily a chiddush in all of these cases. As our Mishnah said, Bezman Shehi, that the Mishnah quoted a machloikis between the Tanakama and Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya held that bia and chalitza, whenever they're performed, in the beginning, in the middle, or at the end of the procedures, enach bia klum, enach chalitza klum, the Tanna Kamma drew a distinction between bia and chalitza. That chalitza, he agrees, enach chalitza klum, no matter when the chalitza was done, but bia, enach bia, is only if the bia was done at the beginning. And we explained the reason for this on Daf Nun Amud Beis. And now Gemara is actually going to refer back a lot to that Gemara. Says the Gemara, Masnitin Dloikai Tana, our Mishnah doesn't reflect the opinion of this Tana. The Tanya, Abi Yosef ben Yochan Ish Yishlaim Oim Mishur Ameya, Achas Be'ilov Achas Chalitza, both by Bia and by Chalitza, Betchila, when they're performed at the beginning, there a halacha is enach ra klum. If the first act done was an act of bia chalitza, there everybody will agree that since these are the acts the Torah requires, either bia chalitza, then the halacha is enach ra klum. But be'emtza b'soif, when they're performed in the middle or at the end of the procedures, both by bia and by chalitza, this Tana Abi Yosi holds yishach ra klum. Says the Gemara, v'shlosh machlok v'dover, there are three opinions regarding the Shaila. Tana Kama Sover, the Tana Kama V'am Mishnah holds, Bia De'ika L'migzer, as the Gemara explained on Daf Nun Beis. If Bia, after Get, was fully effective, people may come to make Bia after Chalitza. And if Bia, after Maimer, with a different Yevama, was effective, people may come to make bia after bia with different yevamos. That's why the Tana Kama holds that a bia, unless it's done at the beginning, that's why after a bia, gazrinan, we make a decree. Chalitza, like lemigza, but by chalitza, as we explained, all these concerns of confusions are not there, like gazrinan. Rav Nechemya Sava, bia naki lemigza, that even by bia, there's no reason to make a gzair. The Ka'amrit, because as you just said, Ligza Biach Get, let's make a Gzeira, but be it done after Get, Mishum Biach Chalitza, because of concern of person may come to do Bia after Chalitza. Chivin, says the Gemara, Chalitza Daraisa. Chalitza is a Daraisa, that's what the Torah prescribes. May the idea people will know that Chalitza is more effective than a Get, and they will not confuse Chalitza with a Get. Or the Kamrit, and similarly, you said, Ligza Biach Maimer, we should make a Gzer by Biach after Maimer, Mishim Biach Bia, because of concern about Biach after Bia. Says the Makim de Beye de Raisa, since the concept of doing Bia with Yavam is Midaraisa, haven't made the idea people realize that there's a difference between Bia and Maimer. Abba Yois Bechonen, Sobel Krabonen. Abba Yois Bechonen holds like the Rabonen, that said that by Bia there is a reason to make a Gzera, because of the situation of bia acha bia or bia acha maimer, and he then goes a step further. He says once we make a gzera by bia, and we don't say en acha bia klum, then the goz of chalitza mishum bia, we don't say after en acha chalitza klum, and we treat chalitza the same way as we treat bia. Hanu loch rav gemuliel, hanu loch rav gemuliel, hanu loch rav gemuliel. Says the Mishnah, haba al yevimtoi. If somebody has relations with yevimtoi, Bein b'shogig, whether it was done b'shogig, Rashi says that shogig means that he thought that the woman he was having relations with is his wife, or he thought that she's a different woman that's not his yevama, or the Rishash explains the way to understand it is that there were two yevamas, and he thought he was doing bia with one when he was actually doing bia with the other. Bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid. Rashi says b'mezin means that he had kavona to do the bia l'shem snus, or the Miri explains that he thought that his brother was alive and he was having relations with his sister-in-law, and then it turned out that his brother was actually not alive when he did this bia. Bein ba'ainus, whether it was done under coercion, which we'll discuss much in the Geshia tomorrow. Bein b'rotzen, or he did it willingly, he did it l'shem mitzvahs yibum. Afilu hu shogig v'him azida, even if he's a shogig in his doing the bia, and she was amazed, she did it l'shem znus. He umezid v'hi shagegis. He did it b'mezid l'shem znus, and she was a shagig. Who honest v'hi lo yanusa? He anusa v'hu lo yanus. He is an honest and she's not, or vice versa. In all these cases, the yibum will be effective. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, Echem Ma'ara. Even one only began the act of having relations, Vechad HaGomer, or he completed the act, Kono. In all these cases, the Yivama becomes his wife. V'lechelek ben Bia l'Bia, there is no difference between different types of Bia. Rashi says, there's no, l'chelek ben Bia, means there's no difference if it's done, with Ha'ara, the beginning or the end of the Maim, of the Maisa Bia. Taisa says, L'chilik ben Bia l'Bia, makes no difference if the Bia was done Kedarka in the natural way, or Shloi Kedarka in the not normal way of doing Bia. As the Miches Chinuch, the halacha is, there's a man da'ama that holds Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavona. So how, as the Miches Chinuch, can this Bia be effective when there was absolutely no intention? Isn't there a halacha mitzvah tzrichas kavana? And in fact, the Miches Chinuch, because of that question, says that according to the man, the Omer, the mitzvah tzrichas kavana, the halacha would be that this Yavam would have to again do an act of Bia with which he would have kavana that she should become his wife to fulfill the mitzvah. Rabbi Chanan, however, disagrees with the Miches Chinuch. And he says that even according to the man, the Omer, mitzvah tzrichas kavona, here there's no need for kavona. And he says a beautiful explanation. He says, when is there halacha, the mitzvah tzrichas kavona? When the act of the mitzvah is all that the Torah requires. For example, the Torah tells us to eat matzah on Pesach. Says the man, the Omer, mitzvah tzrichas kavona, you have to have kavona when you eat the matzah. Otherwise, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. However, says Rabbi Chanan, where the mitzvah is not the act of the mitzvah alone, but the mitzvah is the outcome of the mitzvah. For example, our case, the mitzvah is not specifically to do bia. The mitzvah is lahokim shem la'achiv, that this brother who unfortunately died without children should have a name established for him. Since that's the purpose of the mitzvah, here everybody will agree that kavana is not required. Continues the Mishnah. If anyone has relations with any of the women that's prohibited from the Torah, or Pesula, or somebody who's disqualified, having this relation will make this woman disqualified from ever being able to marry a kohen. Kagoyin, for example, a minor kohen gadol, a woman, a mona is not allowed to marry kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyet, or mamzeres v'nesina l'yisrael, a mamzeres v'nesina are not allowed to marry a Jew, bas yisrael is not allowed to marry a mamzer or nasan. In all these cases, if they just had this minimal amount of relations, just hara, pasla, she becomes disqualified from the kuna. There's no difference whether it was just hara or complete bia, or was bia kedarka, or bia shloi kedarka. The Mishnah says, afilu, even in a case where she, hu shagi v'hi mezida, etc. What does the mean, ask the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean when it says afilu? It seems to be that there's a bigger chiddush here. Wants the Gemara know what's the bigger chiddush? Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is lo mibayu kaimar. It goes without question. Lo mibayu hu shagig, in a case where the man is a shagig, v'hikam achavnu l'mitzvah, but the woman intends to fulfill a mitzvah with this beer, the beer mitzvah of yibam. Inam hu mezid, where he wants to do a maisa's nus, v'hikam achavnu l'mitzvah, but she intends to fulfill a mitzvah. Ella, filu hu shagig. So he has no intention to do a mitzvah. He's a shagig. V'him azida, and she's intending to do a maisa's nus. The tavayu like a mechabni l'shei mitzvah. Both the man and woman are not intending to be mekayim a mitzvah. Still, the halacha is a filu achikana. Says the Maratani Rav Chiya, a filu shneim shagigim. Even if both are shagigim, shneim azidim, both have in mind to do a maisa's nus. Shneim anusim. Under all circumstances, the yavam acquires the Yavam. There's an interesting shaila that the Rishonim discuss here. Will that the Yibum, the Maisa B of Yibum we're learning now, is always effective. The question is the requirement for Edom to the Maisa Yibum. One proof that there is no requirement is that the Halach, we know that Yehuda did Yibum with Tamar, and there was certainly no Edom, no Jewish Edom around there, nobody else was aware of it. Another proof to the Shaila is that we discussed the other day that Maimer, we just discussed this in the previous year, Rav said the Maimer should be given before the Bia of Yibum, because otherwise there will be need for Edom by that Bia, and it will be Pritzusa, so it will be very non-sneer, so it will be very inappropriate that we have Edom for a Maisa Bia. So we don't know clearly what is the halacha. And as the Mishnah Melech explains, the basis of the Shaila is, perhaps where did the Torah say Edom are required? That's when a husband of his own choice chooses to take a woman as his wife. But here where it's, as we've been saying, Isha Hikdala Minashmayim, this marriage is really Minashmayim, that the Torah requires Yibam. Maybe the din that Ein Davish Be'erva Pachs Mishnayim is not here. It's interesting, Machlokes Rishonim, if Edom will be required or not for a Maisa Yibam.